This is made up that this assumption. And it's kind of, yeah, so funny the way it's pitched. But if you make this assumption, and I think there's a minus sign that's missing in the root result. Is this minus sign anywhere here? Yeah, what I found is I get a minus sign here. So basically, so you know this thermodynamic relationship, that there are two thermodynamic relationships that are useful and interesting, and I always forget how to derive them. But one is PdS dE plus PdV minus N d mu. And the other one is Ts is E plus P V minus N V. And I guess what the book has done is, if you assume that the continuity in an expanding universe, assume this is zero, D E plus P V. So what is the relationship is if there's a minus sign here? I think there's a minus sign here. Okay, so just TDS is minus N D. And that's just that relationship. And of course, this is a definition of entropy. This is the definition of entropy. Right. S is just energy plus PV minus N mu divided by T. If you divide by volume, it becomes entropy. So it's just that. And of course, I assume you all have learned this in some dynamic courses. I don't remember. But hopefully you guys are younger than I am, so you remember much better than I do. So we have to be quick. So the problem that is left, so there is the end of problem one, right? Or yeah, the first problem. Actually, I don't think I have. Yeah, okay, good. So it's problem 6.6. So the last part, what does it ask us to do?
So determining the distribution function after decoupling time.
After decoupling. 6.6, okay. Well, okay, so I'll tell you what the answer is to that. Momentum decays is 1 over A, and F is phase space density is conserved. So F remains, for every momentum, it decays as 1 over A, but the F value for that momentum is the same, it remains constant. So it's just whatever your start frame with a thermodynamic distribution before decoupling, and after decoupling you have the same thing, but momentum basically is the function of, you remember the derivative of that from last week or a couple of weeks ago, that momentum decays as 1 over A in an expanding universe. So AP is constant. Okay? And F is also constant because phase space density is always constant. Yes. That's Liouville's theorem, something we learned in probably classical mechanics, that the volume in the phase space is the same as density in phase space, doesn't change. So basically, F of P, if you look at it as, say, F tilde of AP, this function has no time. So F of P of P can be a function of time. But this function has no explicit time. This is so if you know what it is at the decoupling, any other time, it's given by this relationship. F of P of P is this F. And this is the same. So for example, for photons, that means that the temperature, you have a black body, but the temperature just decays 1 over A. And that's what people call, of course, redshift. So temperature goes as 1 over A. Redshift 1 plus D is the redshift which is defined as A0, A to A divided by K. And so if you go in earlier times, temperature is larger at high redshifts. So that's just that question. And so let's get it started with problem 2, and hopefully we can finish that today. So who's done problem 2? Me now.
This one is very easy. So.
Okay.
I found part B pretty easy as well.
I couldn't get the last equation.
Okay, I'll do it when we get there.
Okay, so that's it. Erasers are off the arrays.
So there are a few ways to do this problem, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the simplest one that I chose to do, if you consider like an invariant K0 free universe, and then there is like a small patch of overdensity that is gonna, we wonder how we structures form the universe. So if you assume that a small patch of density over density with rho decoupled from the expansion of the universe, and this over density is gonna collapse at some point, and we realize some of the structures. So if you assume the Friedmann equation for the background universe, which is simply the symbolic. Rho is just the density of the background, and H is just A dot A. We can also, write down the Friedmann equation with k not zero for the small over density, and we just consider it as a separate universe. It's the only k zero universe. That's fine. Okay. Now, if we subtract these two.
So what happened? H's are the same?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm dealing with escape factor, and I assume escape factor is the escape factor of the background universe.
But, but it doesn't need to be done because it's a different universe.
Okay.
So what you find here is a delta rho decays at whatever it is.
And it's going to be here as T2 bar of 2 bar, basically.
That means so delta rho goes is 1 over A squared, so delta rho over rho is constant, that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's not, I see. Which is not good, because that region never collapses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that cannot be the right answer.
Okay.
What you expected us to do was to write the perturbation of the matrix.
But no, this is what I wanted to do. But the thing is that the two edges aren't the same.
Yes.
It's just that the two edges aren't the same. So so you have really two, you have delta rho and you have a delta H. And then you need another equation that's basically the And that's basically, you can write that at 2h delta h, I guess. We need another equation now.
Okay.
What do we have? So do you guys, did anybody else solve this?
I didn't figure out this part. I just started with the equation given and did the work from there.
Are you just starting?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to derive it.
Which equation?
The one with delta dot, the differential equation for delta.
Delta squared delta dot. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one equation. But the other equation that we have is a continuity equation, right? So that, so rho, we know decays is 1 over a cubed.
Yeah.
And delta rho should do the same, basically. So let's think about it this way. These are all functions of time. Right, so we have the same time everywhere, so we have a universal time, that's fine. A isn't necessarily universal, so let's say A could be different basically because you got two different universes in a sense. You could have two different A's, right?
So what if we assume H is A dot over A?
Times.
Assume delta is 1 over a cubed. Or just divide everything by rho b.
So what is the continuity equation? Rho dot plus 3h rho is 0. But there is no pressure here. Right. Did I mention, I guess?
Yeah, H.
Yeah, so. And there's a 3. Right? Okay. So now let's look at the perturbations in this equation. It's just perturbed. So it's delta rho dot plus. No, so that, so these are you looking at delta, so it's 3 delta h rho. Yeah. Okay, so you have now two equations, one equation, and you have two variables, delta rho and delta h, right? So we can, for example, so we can substitute for delta h from that equation. So I want to eliminate k, actually, because, yeah, so k is really an integral of motion. K is like the energy of that region. If k is positive, I think that region will be over there. That is going to collapse eventually if k is negative. So let's do this. Multiply the first equation by a squared and take its time derivative.
This one?
Yes. And actually, let's see. And let's write this in terms of delta now, which is delta rho over rho. No, there's... Well, I mean, I think I would multiply both sides by rho v so that k is a constant, k is left as a constant. So now let's take the time derivative of both sides. Well, let's keep it there.
Okay.
So rho b over a is rho b times a squared, rho b k is 1 over a cubed. So that goes as 1 over a. Yeah, there's an A dot, I guess. So that's one term, and then there's a delta dot term. Okay. So I guess then there's a rho naught, probably. I guess that's the rho today. That's the proportionality, rho is rho naught, a constant divided by a cubed. So I think there is probably a constant that's rho to the that's multiplied. If you can just, it's a constant factor, rho naught. That's a constant factor. Yeah, because I'm saying that rho b goes as rho naught divided by a cubed, right? So. This is a constant rho naught divided by a cube. So I mean, this what we did was right here, but then there is this constant factor. So perfect. So that's one equation. This is another equation, and this one, I think actually, if you write it in terms of delta, this becomes delta dot plus 3. Delta H is 0, right? Because delta dot is delta rho dot divided by rho minus rho delta rho times rho dot divided by rho squared. So if you just plug that in, you get this. And so then we have to plug this guy into, this is delta H, basically. Delta H is minus 1 times delta. If you just, can you do that? And talk after there, see if it's
what you mean. Delta H is minus the total over 3.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess delta h dot is, this is the same delta h, so it becomes the minus third of delta double dot. Right. Minus a third, no. So that's one over three. Good. So that's, so we're almost there. So do you guys see the final answer now? Can you see it? Almost there. I think it must be.
Actually, H dot will be equal to delta H dot, right? H dot. It will be equal to delta H dot. So it is.
Sorry, I don't understand.
The second term you have H dot, right? It will be equal to delta H dot. Because if you take the time derivative positive.
Well, no, but H dot, that's the background H. Sorry. This is the background H. So it's delta H is delta. So delta H is delta dot.
That's what time derivative of H.
Yes. So it is a time derivative, but it's still, it's a background. Time derivative of the background. So you guys should start saying, I guess one thing you have to figure out is what is H dot. And so for a matter dominated universe, we know that H goes as H is 2/3 of two over GT. So H dot is minus 2/3 T squared, which is basically minus 3/2 of H squared. Right? Is that correct? So then we have everything that we need. And I guess the other thing that we need is the Friedmann equation, which gives us this guy, the rho naught, relation between rho naught and H. H squared is basically that relationship. A pi G over 3 rho naught divided by A cubed. So we can write everything in terms of H. So this is 4 A squared, H squared, times delta dot, minus 2/3 of, this is A squared, or this is A squared, right? I think so. Okay, so this is minus 2/3 of A squared. H dot is minus 3/2 of H squared. Solve for that. This is minus 2/3. A squared H delta double down. H pi G rho naught over 3 A. This term is, well, let's start with this term. This is just minus 8 pi G rho naught divided by 3 A squared is, I think it's delta. Ah, okay, so this is just delta H. Right? Because this is A dot over A. And then this becomes A. So this is just delta H A squared plus H squared. And this is H squared, and there's also H squared delta dot H squared. This is not dimensionally correct yet. I think this is H cubed. because this is an h and this is an h squared. So this is h. So this is probably not the easiest way of collecting things. I'm sure there was a quicker way of doing it, but we have all the terms that we needed. So this is, if you put everything together, this is what you should get. I think this is what you get. It's going to be 3 halves. Do you think that makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a 3 halves. That's where you get it. There's the h squared there. There is. What else is there? So the delta dot minus 4/3 plus 1 is minus 2/3. And minus 2/3. And then there's something. If you combine everything, you're going to get this. That's the right answer. But so this is the problem. So this is, I guess, here we have assumed this Einstein decision, and we have assumed that you are in a matter-dominated era. Now the difference, and if you have a vacuum energy, is that you have to just add a constant here, and the same constant here. And these wouldn't be as simple, but there is a relationship between h dot and rho, as which you can derive from here. And if you plug everything back in, everything would follow through the same way, but instead of 3/2 of h squared here, you get just 4 pi g rho back rho delta. So it's the same thing, exactly everything follows, except for that the relationship between h and rho is not going to be the same. So that was it. Now, so everybody agrees with this? Right? Or not?
Well, just the equation of the book, which I started with, had an extra term in there.
So this was the equation, by the way, that's
7.50, I think. Can't remember if it was in the questions or answers.
I see. Okay. Good. So that's the same equation. 7.50 in the book, but it's here you did everything to linear, or that equation includes the nonlinear. It doesn't make an assumption.
Okay.
But so that's a bit more sophisticated. But the interesting thing is that although we assume a spherical symmetry to do this, it turns out, so the next part of the problem, you're supposed to show that this is general, basically. At the linear order, this is general. You don't have to assume spherical symmetry. So, who's done the next part?
I could do it. Yeah.
I could do it. Perfect, let's do it then. Wait a minute, Isaac, have you done this? No? Okay. Right.
Yes, in this problem, you're assuming that electron is evolving without not affected by this.
Yes, condition. Yes. So it's a perturbation on the background, and yeah, the background is not affected. It's just an assumption because its perturbations are small. Yeah, I mean, this is how you always do perturbation theory, that you have a zeroth order solution that's not affected by the perturbation, and you have a first order perturbation that's affected by the background. But in this, the effect of the perturbation in the background is at a higher order, usually, called back reaction. But it's, as long as the perturbation remains small, then that's negligible. What is that C subscript?
Yeah, for some reason I just got that. That just means gravitational constant.
Okay. As opposed to the I factor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, here we have the equations. Tells us star.
I think that divided by A.
It works if it's times A. Doesn't cancel out properly if it's divided by.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I'll show you as we get there, maybe I did something wrong.
Okay. So I guess I emailed you the question, but can you just divide this?
Okay, well. First one we have is a Poisson equation, which is just how gravity works.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. Second equation is continuity equation, which shows the change in the mass of some region over time is accounted for by the velocity flow.
Mm-hmm.
Into and out of that region, and A modulates that by changing the size of the region.
So one thing that it might be a bit confusing here, right? These are peculiar velocities, not total. So I mean, this is the
yeah.
If you want to think of a Newtonian term, this is velocity minus the Hubble flow. So all of these would be zero if everything was continuous. So yes, so it is, and delta would be zero for that. So okay, sure.
Okay, and the final equation, this is, a way of expressing the same law. It's the action and a gravitational potential.
Uh-huh. And I think it must be 1 over A, but let's see if I can
Let's see how this goes, because things cancel out better and we get the right equation. It's times A.
Okay. That's always a good thing.
Okay. So, within the overdense region, we work with this equation, so just...
I know what you're saying there. That's Laplace in a 5 divided by A squared.
Right, here?
Because that's, you see, the difference between co-moving coordinates and physical coordinates. It's co-moving always physical divided by A. So then I think that everything works out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so then let's just move A. Okay. Now, starting with this equation, we take the divergence of both sides, giving us A is constant in space, so, and yeah, it's just a scalar thing, but the divergence isn't doing that. But we don't need to kind of complicate that part. And then we can substitute back in the for grad squared phi, our equation for gravity, and at the same time expanding what we have on the left. Again, this is allowable as H is homogeneous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and working just on this term, this is grad dot d or grad times dv dt. And now, since we're not working with some weird limits of the integral, we can just switch the order of differentiation here and make this dt grad dot v.
This should be a minus sign.
Yeah, probably.
Where?
Yeah, here.
All right.
Okay. Do that, and now if we go to this equation, we can solve for grad dot v, getting a d delta d t. So we put that in there.
That is minus.
Minus.
Of course. Thing and okay. So at this point, we pretty much have all we need just once we differentiate everything out and divide by A on that side, we'll get exactly what we need. But just the next couple steps. I'll
where did that come from? This nice equation.
This? Let's just divide both sides by A. And then combining terms, we just get
okay, so how about part C?
I have done in C and I got some results. If you want to run again.
So, but are you solving the same equation? I guess there's.
I'm solving that equation.
Okay, good. But let's see, so can you roughly draw them on the board?
Oh, yeah, and one final thing I noted on this was that comparing it to the equation I was given, which had the nonlinear terms, this one doesn't get those terms, but there wasn't any point where we did any approximation.
Yeah.
So I accounted that to the difference between Newtonian gravity and relativistic.
But there are approximations. I mean, these equations are linearized equations, all those.
Okay, yeah, so we start with linearized equations.
I think actually so the middle one is actually the continuity equation has corrections. It's at a nonlinear level because, this equation is really something I could check. It's rho dot divided by rho plus divergence of B is zero. This is what it is, a question. And what happens is that this is delta dot only the first order, the higher order. This is going to be something like I think I have to, this is like B by T of
d by dt of log of rho, log of rho b plus log of 1 plus delta.
So this is the first order is this guy. The first order is just delta, but the higher orders is the higher order. And there are a few more complications actually. But to linear order that equation is correct. I think that's really the only equation that changes, that middle one.
So actually one thing I was thinking about in going through this,
mm-hmm.
if for part A I was under the assumption that we were supposed to derive an equation like that and then use it to get an equation for the collapse by solving the dE. And so is there any particular reason we couldn't have used this derivation for part A?
No, we could have used this derivation. So either one would work. I think that the advantage of this one is that it doesn't assume any particular geometry.
Mm-hmm.
But then the disadvantage is linear only in delta. If you want to do it to the linear level, it's going to get complicated. It's not actually going to be anything as easy. The advantage of doing starting from a spherical region, which was actually a problem tree, which nobody actually got through, is that you can do it to nonlinear order. So because a spherical symmetry can solve everything exactly. So the spherical geometry gives you an idea of what happens at the nonlinear level. But this linearized treatment is general, but it only works for small perturbations. And the interesting thing to notice here is that there is no Laplacian, there is no gradient left in this equation. So everything remains the same. The geometry doesn't change through gravitational growth. Only the amplitude changes because everything behaves the same, but you have the same equation everywhere. There is no Laplacian. So no point is coupled to any other point. Every point evolves independent of every other point. So if you started any map, the map of the universe doesn't change basically at the linear level. Only the amplitude of fluctuations get bigger and bigger. Okay. So Samir, I'm sorry for interrupting you. So go ahead.
So I want to resolve what is the factor as a function of t.
Mm-hmm.
For when we have matter coming to zero,
yes.
A is going to basically evolve like that. But at like A 0.5,
mm-hmm.
I input the lambda, and I assume on the lambda is 0.7, and on the matter is 0.3,
mm-hmm.
and then I get something like that. So it's in an expansion of
accelerate. Okay. So you, before that, you assume there is no lambda? Okay. Well, that wasn't exactly what it doesn't matter to me. But realistically, what lambda is present, the vacuum energy is present, just that it doesn't stop dominant or beyond because density of matter goes as 1 over a cubed. When a is a small, density of matter is dominant. When a becomes large, density of matter drops, but lambda remains constant, then that's the dominant. But then when you say omega lambda is 0.7 omega matter, then do you assume that's the value at a of 0.5, right?
Yes,
it that the those change that later on, right? Omega lambda and omega matter don't remain constant.
They don't
remain constant?
They don't.
They don't. Okay, good. So what happens asymptotically to omega lambda and omega matter?
So
and what is the Friedmann equation? You can use Friedmann equation to substitute for h squared. Okay. Okay.
That's the one I can use for the background and then integrating them.
Okay.
I find it basically.
So basically, at late times, the first term and the third term decay, the middle term remains constant. So H squared is just proportional to omega lambda. So the omega lambda goes, that's omega lambda zero, of course. That's not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So omega lambda at late times goes to one, because that's the only component that's left in the universe. Right?
It's going to increase.
It's going to increase to reach, and all the other omegas go to zero, right? Because lambda dominates over everything else. Okay, good. So that's it increases exponentially when lambda dominates, because h is constant, but a all over a is constant. Okay, so what happens to delta? You're going. We still have 10 minutes.
I'm early. I'm done.
Okay, that's so, okay. Thanks. Well, okay. So they all look the same. Yeah. Well, I guess one thing we can probably tell is in the asymptotes how they should behave. So if lambda was not present at early time, what is the solution to that equation? You know?
If lambda is not present?
Yes.
Then A is going to go as t to about 2.
Yes. And how about delta?
Delta the same. I think so.
You think so? So that's the correct guess. But, okay. So, but you can check that by substituting in at the equation.
That's what I was trying to do in the first one. I thought you wanted to find what the scale was.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
So you didn't know. Yeah, no, so there are two modes in there. There is a decaying mode, actually, which I think goes 1 over t or something like that. And then there is a growing mode.
I think the book Peebles has the solution to this.
Yeah.
Delta is one of them.
But that's the solution. So one is t to the 2/3, and the other is like 1 over t. And I mean, this is a linear equation, so it's easy to see where it comes from. It's just you can substitute power laws. When h is a power law, it's just 2 over 3 t. And rho is also a power law. It's like 1 over t squared to some three factors. So we're going to leave soon. All right.
Can we set up the seminar in the meanwhile?
Can we set up the seminar? Sure, actually. So, rho goes as 1 over t squared. So you can, if you just assume there's a power law, you can just plug it in there and you have a quadratic equation and you solve it. One power is 2/3, which is positive, another is negative. Now, what happens when h is constant? Now, that equation, rho is rho matter. And that's the key thing. Right? Because if you're looking at perturbations in matter, matter does cluster, but lambda doesn't cluster. So this is just a rho, because this is delta rho matter. Lambda is not present. Lambda doesn't have perturbation. This is rho matter. Here you're going to have rho matter. But then we just argue that rho matter becomes negligible compared to lambda. So what you're left with is just is delta double dot plus 2 h double dot plus 2. Right? So that just says that delta decays is one of our exponential e to the minus 2 h d. Sorry, delta dot decay. Delta becomes constant. Sorry, delta becomes constant, right? Because there is no delta appearing in the equation. Delta dot decay, delta goes. Right? Does that make sense? So that's I guess that was the point of this problem, and I guess you should have probably seen this. The delta would go to a constant. And so basically, perturbations in the universe grow linearly with A, proportional to A, until lambda dominates, and then they become constant. So I didn't get around to write problems for you, so I just think that I can either grade your problems or write problems. I cannot do both at the same time. I'll email you problems for next week. Hopefully we're going to... Do you think you can finish the last problem, or...?
Yes, I think it's not an addition to more problems.